SaskAg Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to SaskAg Today. Coming up on today's program, the Saskatchewan budget will be released this afternoon. We'll talk about some of the announcements that have already been made and what predictions there might be for the announcement later today. According to the Ag Transport Coalition that tracks railway performance, CN and CPKC Rail only fulfilled 56% of grain car orders in shipping week 32 back in early March. Kevin Hirsch, Sask Ag Today's chief agricultural editor, will provide us a story on that. As well, Australia has been eating into Canada's canola share in Japan, but our canola is still the number one choice in China. We'll hear from Jarrett Beattie, who is the director of marketing when it comes to seed exports for Parrish and Heimbecker. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of SaskAg Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. The Saskatchewan budget will be released this afternoon. The Saskatchewan Party government has made a number of announcements ahead of today, especially in agriculture. Here's what we know so far of what's being invested on the ag and rural side. $1.15 billion for Phase 1 of the Lake Diefenbaker Irrigation Expansion Project that was announced last week at the SARM convention. Crown land grazing rates for 2024 frozen to rates set in 2022. Municipal revenue sharing has increased by 14% to $340.2 million, and how that will be dispersed among communities will be revealed this afternoon. Details related to the 2024 crop insurance program were shared earlier this month. You can find those details at saskagtoday.com. The province is contributing $2.7 million as part of a combined $8.2 million investment between the federal and municipal governments for RMs to upgrade and replace bridges and culverts. Finance Minister Donna Harpower is expected to rise and introduce the 2024-25 budget at around 2:15 this afternoon. We will have full coverage of the budget on air across the Harvard Media News brands and online at sasktoday.ca, saskagtoday.com, and gx94radio.com. You'll also hear reaction from the farm and lobby groups in the coming days as everyone processes the budget. Meanwhile, according to the Ag Transport Coalition that tracks railway performance, CN and CPKC Rail only fulfilled 56% of grain car orders in shipping week 32 back in early March. As Kevin Hirsch of SaskAgToday.com reports, railway performance has been a problem for the past couple of months.
Milt Poirier compiles reports for the Ag Transport Coalition. He says that for the first 24 weeks of the crop year, movement went quite well, with order fulfillment around 90%. Where things turned was week 25, right around the middle of January, when the West was hit with a significant cold snap and temperatures dropped to the minus 40s.
It was understandable that performance suffered when we had the cold snap, but the surprise has come in what's come since then. And what we've seen is the inability of the NNCP to recover to the levels of service that we would have expected to see by now. It has been 6 weeks. And they kind of made a little move up a couple of weeks after the cold spell, but it didn't last, and the last couple of weeks have been, you know, particularly bad. And given where they're at right now, you know, we're not overly optimistic to see significant improvement in the near term.
It's been a mild winter since the January cold snap, and demand for grain movement has been only average. No major derailments or infrastructure problems have surfaced, and yet performance has not rebounded. Poirier says with outstanding car orders growing, it gets increasingly difficult for the railways to dig out of the backlog. Coming out of week 32, the two railways had more than 3,000 outstanding car orders carried forward. He says the problem must be internal, probably related to a shortage of crews. It's not really about cars, since both railways have cars in storage.
Adding more cars to a network that's not performing, if it's lacking assets such as train crews, is not going to improve things, because throwing more cars at the problem may get you more cars to spot at shipper locations, but is not really going to help you when you're trying to create train starts, because to do train starts, you need locomotives and you need crews. And if you're short of crews, then all you're going to end up doing is congesting your network even more, which is then going to compound the problem you've already got.
When grain doesn't reach ports on time, it's a costly problem.
I think the thing that is going to be of concern now over the next few weeks is if people are watching what's going on at the Port of Vancouver and at Prince Rupert, the lack of performance inland is now starting to manifest itself at the port. As of yesterday, based on reporting by the Grain Monitor, Vancouver now has 30-plus grain vessels sitting in the port. 25 of them are sitting at anchor. A dozen or so have been there for 2 to 4 weeks. Prince Rupert has 5 vessels, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for Prince Rupert, that is a lot. So, you know, you've got a lot of demand at the port, and the grain is not finding its way in a timely manner to the terminals so that those vessels can be loaded.
Vessels that sit for an extended period incur demurrage, which is charged to the grain companies and is ultimately borne by producers. For SaskAg Today, I'm Kevin Hirsch.
It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
Solid exports of Canadian yellow peas to India over the past few months could continue for longer as officials contemplate extending duty-free imports once again. After India lifted tariffs on yellow pea imports in December 2023, the country has become the top destination for Canadian yellow peas. From August through November, India bought no Canadian yellow peas, according to Statistics Canada trade data, and the country has been a non-factor for Canadian yellow pea movement since tariffs were introduced in 2017. However, with the duties temporarily lifted, India imported 331,000 metric tons of yellow peas from Canada in December and January alone. That accounted for 66% of all Canadian yellow pea exports during that period and vaulted India into the second spot behind China for total export demand this marketing year. BASF Digital Farming and Richardson International say they have signed a deal that will see Richardson Pioneers Agronomic Network use the Zarvio Field Manager agronomic platform across the 4 Western Canadian provinces. The companies say the Zarvio platform will enable Richardson agronomists to offer growers more precise field-specific crop management advice during the season, including early risk alert notifications for diseases such as sclerotinia in canola. They say Zarvio Field Manager consistently predicted economically significant field-specific sclerotinia incidents in field trials in 2022-23. Richardson agronomists will also be able to use Zarvio Field Manager to generate tailored variable application maps for seeding, crop protection, and nutrition tasks based on field-specific data such as yield maps, soil maps, and 15 years of historic biomass imagery from satellite data. John Deere, Kins Manufacturing, and Ag Leader Technology say they've reached a collaboration agreement that will make it easier for farmers to integrate their technology and equipment while also ending a dispute over high-speed planter design patents. The agreement will allow farmers who run Kins and Ag Leader planting and display products to seamlessly integrate with John Deere's operations center. The companies have also agreed to resolve all outstanding litigation through a deal where John Deere will license certain planter designs to Kins and Ag Leader to allow them to continue selling their respective TrueSpeed and SureSpeed products. In October 2023, a jury in an Iowa court awarded Deere $16.3 million in damages and royalties from Kins and Ag Leader after determining the two companies infringed on two of Deere's patents in the United States. Farmers Edge has received a final order from the Court of King's Bench approving the company's plan to go private and delist its shares from the Toronto Stock Exchange. A subsidiary of majority owner Fairfax Financial Holdings will acquire all the outstanding shares of the company, except those it already owns, and those held by the Farmers Edge CEO, for 35 cents per common share. Farmers Edge was founded as an agronomic service business in Pilot Mound, Manitoba in 2005, and grew into a digital agriculture company providing software and sensor technology, including variable rate maps, aimed at helping farmers with agronomic decisions on millions of acres of farmland in more than half a dozen countries. The company has struggled financially and been forced to downsize, with its share price declining dramatically from its initial public offering on the TSX in March 2021 at $17 per share. The delisting and transition to wholly Fairfax ownership is expected to be completed on or about March 21st. The Manitoba government celebrated Agriculture Awareness Day yesterday by partnering with Agriculture in the Classroom Manitoba to deliver programming to 7,400 Manitoba students about the importance of agriculture. Agriculture Minister Ron Costition says agriculture is one of Manitoba's leading industries and it's growing. He says his government is excited to partner with Agriculture in the Classroom Manitoba to teach young people more about where food comes from and how they can get involved in the future of agriculture. Agriculture in the Classroom Manitoba is a nonprofit charitable organization with a mandate to connect students with agriculture through innovative curriculum-based programs and resources. And SaskAg Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose SaskAg Today. And yes, it is free. It's time now to head back out once again to Danny Ismond.
Assiniboia is where we're at today, the Spring Fever Lotto, and your chance to win. Actually, chances. I don't want to sell it short here. We have actually 85 chances to win, 85 draws. And you know what? There's nothing saying you can't win multiple times. We've seen in the past where it happens. You win maybe something like fifth prize, the solar generator, 2,000 in cash. But then you go back in and maybe it's second prize, the zero turn mower, $5,000 in cash. How about $150,000 grand prize? Or maybe, just maybe, you win that 50-50. Last year, the winner took home $88,000. That's what was pocketed. $88,000. Pretty impressive, right? So, what are we waiting for? Let's get on that phone right now at 1-888-289-3276. 1-888-289-3276. You can visit springfeverlotto.com or 1-888-BUY-FARM. But you need to get that ticket today with the Assiniboia Spring Fever Lotto.
Welcome back to SaskAg Today. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and minus 12 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Australia has been eating into Canada's canola share in Japan, but our canola is still the number one choice in China. Jarrett Beattie is the director of marketing for seed exports for Parrish and Heimbecker.
Australia, unless they have an environmental issue, it's going to be continue to be a bit of a thorn in our side in terms of capturing market share. And it's going to be something we're going to have to sort of look to in the future. We haven't really had to deal with them in the past in the same degree. They've been a producer of 3-4 million tons and maybe an exporter to of a few million tons. And so this is a new competitor, really, that's going to be on the horizon as we fight for market share in key markets.
Australia grew a record canola crop a couple of years ago, but the past year's total is more modest.
Australia's crop this year, 5 million tons. They use about 1.5 million. That gives them a 3.5 million ton exportable surplus. Compared to when they produced 8 million tons, it's a big just decrease. And so that gives us some opportunity to recapture some of that market share. Places like Japan, who had been such a loyal customer for a long time, really have adapted to Australian seed, unfortunately. And so we're going to have to really battle for market share in those markets. Mexico, a little bit better for us, that we have a logistical advantage, and we see them probably turning quicker back to Canadian seed. I'd say the UAE probably will stick with Australia, just the way the logistics and the market dynamics are going to work.
While Australia has been making inroads in Japan, the Aussies are unable to crack into the Chinese canola seed market due to higher levels of dockage.
We've talked about dockage in canola to China for many, many years now. We are cleaning to 1%, and effectively, you can see the kind of numbers that we're exporting. We have opportunity to do more there. I think we've adapted as an industry to manage that. And the irony is it's become a competitive advantage for us into China. We have seen the Australian prices often as much as $50 to $60 a ton discounted in these other markets, to Mexico, into Japan. And for us to be able to keep that market share in China because of the dockages, you know, proving out to be a big advantage.
Jared Beattie is the Director of Marketing for Seed Exports for Parrish and Heimbecker. Coming up in a moment, we will talk to him about transportation and sustainability.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 187.80. That's down 25. June live cattle closed at 184.77, down 22. April feeder cattle closed at 254.92, down 15. May feeder cattle closed at 258.80, down 12. April lean hogs closed at 85.30, down 52. May lean hogs closed at 90.97, down 97. And that's the livestock market conditions. We're now back with Jared Beattie, the Director of Marketing for Seed Exports for Parrish and Heimbecker. Even though it has been a relatively mild winter, there have been some domestic rail transportation issues.
Transportation, we always have to talk about it because it's always a bit of a scary one. We do rely on the railways to move our product, and we do rely on them to provide us with that service, which can be variable at time. And like I said, right now, they seem to be struggling with power and manpower, but what we're hearing. And so we want to look forward to make sure that they can continue to supply us. But I do want to again highlight that the infrastructure investments that have been put in over the past 5 years have really started to show their values.
Beattie says sustainability will become a bigger issue over the next 30 months.
This is one that is it's looming. You know, none of our customers today on the export side are requiring, other than the EU, a sustainability or traceability component. But we sure get a lot of questions about it. Now we've really seen it from Japan starting to ask questions. And so these may be table stakes for market access. And I think that's the way we're going to have to think about it going forward. We're continuing to monitor it as an industry. But if we want to be in markets, we may have to provide sustainability and traceability. The biofuel policy piece is going to drive a lot of the demand side for all the new crush capacity. But we're also seeing it overseas in Europe. Because it's such a big demand piece, and one of these plants can really suck up about 1 million tons of seed equivalent. So any changes in policy that enhances the biofuel uptake is going to have a massive component on how the markets play out. So that's going to be one thing, something to be monitoring and seizing the opportunities as they present themselves.
That's Jared Beattie, the Director of Marketing for Seed Exports for Parrish and Heimbecker. Beatty was one of the speakers on a canola utilization webinar organized by the Canola Council of Canada. Please stay tuned. SaskAg Today will continue in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to SaskAg Today. Spring seeding could be right around the corner depending on how quickly the snow melts. Retired Yorkton agrologist Tom Weir tells us what producers should be thinking about right now.
Well, I guess the first thing I would suggest is if growers haven't got their soil test done yet, this year is probably something that'll pay off. Last year was slightly drier than normal, and so there's a good chance that there'll be some extra carryover of nitrogen. So I would strongly suggest that growers get a soil test done, preferably a 0 to 6 and a 6 to 24 inch sample, and take a look at their nitrogen, because they might find a significant amount of nitrogen at that lower depth. And that's especially important if you're coming off of, say you're out of this immediate area in an area where there's a little drier and has been drier for a few years, because there may be a significant accumulation of nitrogen. So it's just a really good practice and a way that a grower might be able to save himself a few dollars. The other thing I would suggest is taking a look at a lot of research trials that were done this past year, nitrogen response trials specifically. We're not seeing a whole bunch of response, which indicates that there's probably been some over-fertilization of nitrogen, and so either a waste or the input that was put in, you could have probably cut back 10, 20 pounds. So that's important to take a look at it. The third thing when we're talking about nitrogen fertilizer and yield response specifically is that growers might want to take a look at what the optimum yield versus a maximum yield calculation might be. I know, especially with the prices that have been around for the last 2 or 3 years, growers have wanted to produce every bushel possible. And it probably was a good strategy at that time. But now that we've seen prices back off a little bit, sometimes the most money in your pocket might not come from the optimum or the maximum yield. So we want to take a look at that and try and decide, hey, rather than going for 80 bushel wheat, do we go for 70 bushel wheat? Is that going to make me more money? And the reason for that is every nutrient and nitrogen's in that same category, there's a yield curve. And the yield goes up significantly for every increment of fertilizer it's put on up until a certain point. And at that point, the yield starts leveling off. So, for instance, if we take a look at canola, we might be looking at getting, say, 3 bushels of or 3 pounds of nitrogen to produce a bushel of canola. And as we move up that yield curve, all of a sudden, we might only be getting, we might have to put on 4 pounds or 5 pounds to get that bushel. We just don't get the same response at the top end of the curve. And so that makes it more expensive to produce. So there's a really good tool that's on Manitoba Agriculture's page. If you Google Manitoba Nitrogen Rate Calculator, you'll come up with a spreadsheet that you can plug your own numbers in, what your price of nitrogen is, what the price of you expect to get for your wheat. And it'll give you a pretty good calculation of where your optimum rate is. So if a grower wants to do that, it's once you get the calculator downloaded, you can use it. You can take a look at it for a number of different scenarios. Take a look at what was happening last year or the year before when we were getting really good prices for our grains, and just compare that with today's prices.
He says there's something else to keep in mind from an environmental standpoint.
If the nitrogen is too much nitrogen's being put on for the crop to use, some of it will be stored and used this year, next year, but some of it's lost. And there's a lot of data that shows the higher the rate of nitrogen that's applied, the more greenhouse gas emissions occur off that piece of land.
And Weir then goes into seed and seed treatments.
Wheat midge, taking a look at the maps, the risk is up a little bit. And just a reminder that we've lost Lorsban, it's no longer available. So really, there isn't a plan B when it comes to midge. The only real treatment that can be done is using a midge-resistant variety. And there's some really good varieties out there now. There's some new ones that are looking really good. So really something that I think growers in this area should take a strong look at. The only other tool we have is seeding early, and that does work to some extent, but that means you're seeding your wheat first, and maybe if you're growing peas, that isn't what normally happens. So you got to really take a strong look at growing a wheat midge-resistant variety. And when we're talking about peas, last year I was out in a few pea fields, and three quarters of the fields I was in had an infestation of a pea leaf weevil. So I would strongly recommend that if you're growing peas, you treat it with an insecticide seed treatment that's going to control the pea leaf weevil. This insect, if you see scalloping or little half moons of feeding on the pea or the fava bean leaf, that indicates you have the adults. And some of the infestations last year that I saw were fairly heavy. So what these weevils do, they do the feeding on the leaves, but then they lay their eggs, and the larvae are really what does the damage. The larvae like the nodules on young pea plants, and so they eat those nodules off. And of course, the nodules are what produces the nitrogen for the pea plant or the fava bean plant. So we just get a reduced yield. Last year, I had reports of 40% yield reduction on fields that had the infestation. So it can be significant. It can be overcome. You can go out there and broadcast some nitrogen and hope for rain, but that's an expense that you can avoid if you treat for the control of them. And so, talking about seed treatments, I guess from a disease standpoint, my experience is in moisture conditions, there's a better chance of getting a response from seed treatments. It sort of relates back to the disease triangle, where we have the disease organism being present, we have optimum conditions, and we have a susceptible host makes the triangle. And we have to have all three present to get the disease being an issue. And so there's a better chance when we've got the moist conditions that goes into the for most diseases, goes into the environmental standpoint, it's a better environment for those diseases. And with the most recent snowfalls we've had, there's probably a higher chance that we're going to have a moister than normal spring. So again, with that, there's probably a better chance of a response to seed treatments.
That's Tom Weir. He's a retired agrologist based in Yorkton.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed up rather sharply right across the board today. May canola closed at $648.60, up $14.10. July canola closed at $657.20, up $13.20. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $655 per bushel, down 0.75 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at 580.5, down 2.25 cents. May Chicago wheat closed at 545 per bushel, down 7.5 cents. May corn closed at 439 per bushel, down 0.5 cent. May soybeans closed at 1209.5, that's up 24 cents. May oats closed at 353.25, down 3.25 cents. And that's the commodities update. Allie Noble, a crops extension specialist with the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture in Prince Albert, says there's a number of events coming up to help producers plan for a successful growing season.
With a mild winter and many sunny days, producers are likely thinking of the upcoming spring and preparing for the growing season. While there are many steps to be taken before getting into the field, one invaluable one is getting the latest information on agronomic issues you could run into this growing season. Over the winter, there are many opportunities for growers to learn more, but as the winter rolls on, more results from the previous year's research and pest surveys are available and showcased at events. Getting the latest information can allow producers to be prepared to deal with the latest pests or other risks for the upcoming year. A few upcoming opportunities for producers to learn more include the Crops Winter Webinar Sessions held by Saskatchewan Agriculture's Crops Extension Specialist Team. This year, there are 9 webinars available to sign up or watch recordings for, covering topics of pest survey updates, kochia management, grasshopper management, local research results, nutrient management, and the ins and outs of soil testing. These are spaced out throughout the month of March and available free online to view recordings afterwards as well. If you prefer to attend in-person events, coming up on March 13th in Prince Albert, the Conservation Learning Center and Saskatchewan Agriculture are hosting Crop Talk 2024. This event will be at the Wildlife Federation Center, with speakers including Tom Wolf talking on spraying in adverse conditions, updates on what pests to watch for in 2024, local drainage project updates, and cover cropping. This event is free to attend, but pre-registration is required through the local Saskatchewan Agriculture Office. You can call the PA office at 306-953-2363 to register or find out more information. For more information on any upcoming events, please contact your local Saskatchewan Agriculture Regional Office or call the Agriculture Knowledge Centre at 1-866-457-2377. Learning the latest on production risks before hitting the fields this spring will help you to put your operation one step ahead. I'm Allie Noble, and this has been the Saskatchewan Agriculture Report.
It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, partly sunny, winds northwest at 10 to 15, and a high of minus 9 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, a light northwest wind, a low of minus 22. For tomorrow, partly sunny, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 8, an overnight low of minus 20. For Friday, mainly sunny, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a high of minus 9. For Saturday, partly to mainly sunny, a high of minus 8, and Sunday, partly sunny, a high of minus 7. In the Paw and Roblin, it's minus 14 degrees. Swan River, minus 10. Dauphin and Shoal Lake Russell, minus 13. Brandon, minus 12. Regina is at minus 7. Saskatoon, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, minus 11. Hudson Bay, minus 10. Broadview, Mooseman, minus 9. Indian Head, minus 8. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a west-southwest wind at 4 kilometers an hour. 52% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 12 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 15 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today. For today, Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.